Who is the Mikdash? According to the Avnei Milum, who's the Mikdash? Who's performing the Maisa Kiddushin? How can Pliny be performing a Maisa Kiddushin for the Baal? What word am I not saying? Shh! Shlichus. There's no Shlichus here. So who's the ultimate Mikdash? No. Woman gave him Mikdash. There was only one choice. Pliny? How could Pliny be Mikdash for me if he's not my shh? So who's in Mikdash? The Baal. Okay. The Baal's being Mikdash the woman. The Chiddush is the Kesef doesn't have to come from him. The woman has to receive Kesef because of him. But ultimately, the Baal is the author of this Kiddushin. Because Pliny can't be. Pliny's a, remember the word I used on, what was it, Tuesday? A little birdie. Pliny's a little birdie. Little bird drops money into the woman's pocket. She gets really all fuzzy and warm inside because she knows the little birdie gave it to her because of the Baal. So she's real excited to marry this Baal, and she's mocking herself against the Ran to the Baal. If the Baal is the Mikdash, what would you need? Maisa Kicha. And practically, what would you need? You need the Baal to come and say something. Now, we'll talk about this tomorrow. We'll talk about what he has to say, but the Rambam Shita is, in fact, that. So someone will say the Rambam Shita is the Baal is the Mikdash. And then the Baal shows up at stage two after Pliny tells the woman, take this money on behalf of the Baal. And then the Baal shows up and says, hooray, at mikudashesli, with the money that the little birdie dropped into your pocket that I don't have to do an asina for, but you're really fuzzy and warm inside because of the money, so be mikudash yourself today. So the Baal says, hooray, at mikudashes, bahi kesa. He talks about something about the money. We'll talk about that tomorrow more specifically. We don't have that. We don't have the Baal showing up and saying anything. When Rava said that when Pliny tells the woman, take money for the Baal, be mikudashes to him, just the mikudashes, it should be, and then the Baal comes and says something. Now, this is not such a big kasha. Why is it not such a big kasha? Because we have another case that works where the Baal presumably has to say something, even though Rava doesn't document that he has to say something. What is that case? We learned it a long, long time ago. All right. So the woman tells Pliny, tells the Baal, give money to someone else, and I'll be miskadeshes. And then presumably, according to the Ran, the Baal has to show up and say something. What he has to say is debatable, but unless you hold like a chayrin, the Baal has to say something. So when Rava was describing Arev and Eved Kanani, he was describing the mechanics of Kesef. But we all assume that the Baal has to show up later on and say something. What he says, is it Hana, is it Mana, but he has to say something. So by Eved Kanani, the person that gives the woman money is just a little birdie. Woman gets all excited. Mekadesh herself, Baal says, Ki yikach, there's a kicha, there's an amir, it all works. If you want to say the Avi Bolsa method, which is a little bit more sophisticated, the Nesina of the Pliny counts as my Nesina. We still have to make that work, but okay, it softens it a little bit. Not a little birdie, but he's certainly not a dreaded shh. And that makes sense if we accept Rava and Daf Chav Gimel. That's the entire core of Eved Kanani. The entire core of Eved Kanani is you don't need a Maisa Nesina from the Kona in order to affect Kenyan Kesef. And if it's not just Rabbi Meir, but it's also the Rabbanan, as we saw in some of the Rishonim, then it's a neatly packaged Sina. The problem is, we don't have the Baal saying anything. And the problem is, we're not really sure if that Kabbalah's Rabbo Garmala really makes the final cut on Daf Chav Gimel. Because who says, in whose Shita does Rabbi say Kabbalah's Rabbo Garmala?
Meir.
Do the Chachamim agree? Not clear. We saw the Machlok as we showed him. According to the Chachamim, you could be Poda and Eved, you could be Meshachar and Eved, Bekesef Aidei Atzmo, as well as Aidei Acherim. Is there Aidei Acherim based on the same Aidei Acherim that was according to Rameir? Or the Aidei Acherim is not based on Kabbalah's Rabbah Garmel, according to the Chamid, it's based on, who remembers?
Zachar.
So, it's not so clear that we can extract from Eved Kanani Kabbalah's Rabbo Garmale, and make it work for Kiddush in some way, somehow. Because that's Rav Meir talk. We all like the Chachamim, and the Chacham may not adopt Kabbalah's Rabbo Garmale. Which leads everyone that we'll discuss today to a totally different conclusion. That when a person gives the woman money for the Baal, She's mikudeshes midin shliach slash zachin slash sidur shlichas. And we're going to unpack all of this today. But no matter what we're going to say today, what's the kasha going to be? What kasha? What's our albatross today? When we go into this territory, we start sailing through the Straits of Magellan. Who's gonna haunt us? No matter what we're going to say, we're going to have to face the music on this question. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's not going to be so pretty. Yonah, what's the question going to be? No, great, Maisa Kicha. Who's doing the Maisa Kicha? Not the Baal, but the Shliach slash Zachin guy slash Pseudo Shliach guy. And the Baal doesn't even have to speak. Listen to what I'm saying. When I make you a Shliach to marry a woman, you do the Kiddush, you do the Amira, you do. That's going to work. Aces. It's going to be a great sugya. The Baal never finds out about it. It's going to work beautifully. But what's the problem going to be here, Moshe?
How can there be
sleepless
if he doesn't arrange it?
Okay, we'll take care of that. I got enough ammo up my sleeve. I got enough tricks in my bag. Don't worry. We'll solve all these problems. When I solve all the problems, achrei kichlos hakol, when I come home at night and I feel like I really did a really good job on the sugya, and I talk to my wife, I'm sitting eating dinner, what's she going to throw in my face? What's she going to say? Oh, you think you did such a good job? You're so proud of yourself. I got this. How do you answer this? What's her question going to be? Right.
Well, I'm not sure it's a question, but basically, if you're talking this din avtani, but it's an entirely different mechanism, because here it's right. Some super...
Say it more concise. If it's based on shliach or zachin,
then it's not din avtani.
Then say shliach and zachin. Don't call it Eved Kenani. What are you trying to confuse us? We're going to have to try to solve. It's not going to be so pretty.
I think you have an easy answer.
Okay, so we'll see. Well, let's go through the different cases. But that's a pressure we didn't have to face on Tuesday. On Tuesday, we had a really, really new halacha, that Kinyan Kesef could be affected even though the Kona doesn't give the money. That's really bold. That's really innovative. I never would have thought that. I would have thought Kinyan Kesef is Kona giving money to Machna, right? Everyone knows that. And what's the one case in the Torah that shows me that Kesef could be affected even though the Kona doesn't give to the Machna? Eved Kenani. There's an internal logic. How do you know about Eved Kenani? They're going to talk about it. But that's new. That's Eved Kenani based. Me did Eved Kenani. And that part of the sugya makes sense. It may be too big a jump to go from Eved Kenani to Kiddush Mujiz and Maisakicha, but Midin Eved Kenani, those words make a lot of sense. But once I try to normalize our sugya, oh, that plony that gives money to a woman is just a shliach. He's just a zachin. Yeah, he's just a, our good friends. It's like, what's the big melodrama here? What was I? Midin Eved Kenani, just say. When plony gives money to the woman, Mikudeshes, Midin Zachin Yom Shalbefana, Midin Shliach, what are you... What's the added value of saying Eved Kenani? I mean, the Gemara has an allergy to saying the word Zachin. Everyone knows the word Zachin in Shas. We have it all over the place. Zachin Shal Bafana, Midin Shlichos. I'll ask the question even more powerful. Why is Rabbi even telling me the halacha? I know you can make a Shliach for Kiddushin. So this guy happens to be a Shliach for Kiddushin. Or this guy, Ploni, happens to be a Zachin sourced Shliach. So we're going to find answers to that question. One of the answers could be ultimately we may have to take the word Eved Kenani non literally. It's just an analogy. Just like the setup in Eved Kenani works, Besa, so it works here. It's like Rava just creating reference points, pneumatic devices. Remember, just like the setup Eved Kenani works, Midin Zachin, here it also works, Midin Zachin. But it's Zachin Shavavanav, or it's Shliach, or it's something part of that family. So I just want you to see, we're now migrating to a totally different part of the sugya. On Wednesday, we didn't mention the Shin word. And I described the Ploni as a little birdie. I was playing mental tricks with you, subliminal Freudian messages. I want you to see the Ploni as a little birdie, unrelated, no halachic status. Someone drops money to the woman's lap. She gets all warm and fuzzy, no representation. The bowels are Makada. She has to come and say something. Now we're flipping the switch. Saying, no. Who's the Makadesh? The Ploni. Who does the Amir or the Ploni? If I make Rachamim, Mashiach, the Makadesh, the woman, you go, you meet the woman, you're early, Esser, you say, I'm a Kodesh, it's the Moshe Taragin. You give the money, you give it, it's all you. I can sit back and not be involved whatsoever. Which makes sense and normalizes the sugya, but it doesn't sound like a normal sugya. It sounds like a sugya that has an edge to it. A chiddush of Eved Kenani is a normal sugya. Why present it? It's a big chiddush. Why talk about it even? So that's the area we're going to now. Well, let's unpack it, Joe. What's your question?
Just to clarify, because I mentioned here before, The Gemara says Hail Plony is guy to the Plony, but it sounds like you're using Plony as a guy who's saying Hail Plony.
No, Plony is talking to the woman. Okay. A regular person off the street tells the woman, I want you to be married to Joey. Here's some money. So on Tuesday we talked about that he's not your representative, but...
I just wasn't sure because the Gemara Plony is about all men.
Okay. I'm using Plony. My fault. My bad. I'm using Plony as a middle guy. Okay, we'll talk. Call him Acher, like some guy off the street. Okay. So who's the first earliest Rishon that moves us to this world? Like, who's the guy?
Rashi.
What word does Rashi use?
Shliach.
And Rashi, of course, introduces a huge iceberg of Kimta. I mean, this is really, talk about Titanic breakers. I mean, this is going to break the Titanic. Rashi says, we're talking about where the Baal made this guy Shliach. He actually met him the day before. There's a prequel to the sugya that we didn't see. You didn't see the first part of the movie. He met Plony the day before. Let's cook up a special kiddushin. Be my Shliach. Okay. So now we're facing the full brunt of the question. Well, if he made this guy into a shliach, the Baal made him into a shliach, so now finish the sentence, who needs, what is the chiddush? I mean, he can't get any more. Who asked the question? The Ritva. The Ritva says, wait a second, Rashi. You're giving me this ukimta, you made him into a shliach, like, what is going on? Let's read the Ritva just to let the Rishonim do the talking. Yeah. The Rishonim here are not as direct as an Arif. Again, Ari, they really, really told us the mechanics. Here, they're giving a lot of, like, little hints. Shliach, not Shliach, look later. They don't really discuss the issue as frontally as they did in the previous segment. But we'll try our best to tease it out of the Rishonim. So now on Daf Zayin and Aleph in the Ritva, Dibra Masfil, where are we here? Helech man of Iskatsh of the Plony Medinev Kanani. Parish Hamayri Bishaina no saying Shlucho Shul Makadesh. Alanosin Akasaf can issue the Scottish Bolaza. Aina Dasi me the never canani. I thought it was clear. I thought he actually asked on Rashi. Okay. I thought the Ritva's Lashon was he asked on Rashi. Okay. So what are our two choices in Rashi? One choice in Rashi is to accept Rashi at face value and to say this guy is a real classic Shliach. And as a real classic shliach, somehow we still need Eved Kenani. It's going to be a bit of an obstacle course, but we're going to try it. And another approach is to say that when Rashi said he's a shliach, I didn't really mean he's a formal shliach. Who takes that approach? Trick question. Who says that when Rashi said that he made this acher, this nosin kesef into a shliach, I didn't really mean he made it into a shliach? Rashba. Very good. I mean, I said, oh, be my shliach in halacha. Just said, do this. I want this to happen. The Baal said, I'm happy for this to go ahead. Not a real shliach. Okay? So those are our two choices in Rashi. Let's first follow the first approach in Rashi. Then we'll follow the Rashba on the second approach in Rashi. Okay, the first approach in Rashi is, this guy is a full-fledged, super mahadrin shliach. The Baal came to him and said, well, Monday be my shliach, and on Tuesday you're Monday to the woman and said, be Miss Kadeshus the Plony. And he said, Arabic Kadeshus, he literally said, yo, and he said, Arabic Kadeshus the Plony. Not the Baal didn't say anything, because he's a shliach. Every shliach does the Amira as well as the Kesef. So what's different about this case? What's wrong with this case? It's a regular case of shliach. What's wrong with the case? What's missing here?
The person's paying out of his own
money. Right, the shliach is using his own money. Okay, what's wrong with that? What's what the Ritva says? You're a shliach, give your own money. So evidently, according to Rashi, there's a bit of an issue here. What's the conclusion from Rashi? That evidently it's not so pashut that a shliach can
use
no money. The Gemara in Shas never talks about whose money the shliach uses. The Gemara just says, go make a shliach, and he goes off and makadesh the woman. But you have to also have to give him some money. Well, can the shliach use his own money? The Ritva evidently felt, no problem. Shliach can use his own money. So if this case were shlichos, there'd be no need for Eved Kanani. There'd be no need to mention it because it would conform to normal shlichos. Yaakov, every case in Shas, the shliach uses his own money. Here too, shliach uses his own money. Why are you telling me? There's nothing new here. Nothing new to see. Keep walking. Evidently, according to Rashi, there's an issue with the shliach using his own money, and that issue somehow is what Rav is trying to solve by discussing Eved Kanani. So now we have a machlokas we've shown him in Kiddushin, Dav Zayin and Man Aleph, can a shliach use his own money? According to the Rifa, yes. According to Rashi, not unless I have Eved Kanani helping me. Regular shliach has to use the money of the mishaleach. But if it's kesef, then Eved Kanani allows the shliach, and that's Rav's chiddush. Normally, a shliach has to use material from the mishaleach, but here he can use his own money because of Eved Kanani. So first of all, what's the machlokas? And second of all, what sheet does Rashi? So what do you think the machlokas is? Can the shliach use his own money? What's that machlokas about? How do I understand? Can a shliach use his own material to affect the halachic transaction? Or does he have to use the material of the original dispatcher, Mishalech? What is that really discussing, Joey?
That would be whether he's, what we said before, whether he's Maizikov Alma.
Excellent. This is the famous question of Shlichus, and it's looped into a very, very famous Or Sameach, which I neglected to put down for you, but I sent you on the WhatsApp, in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Beis 10. I would probably think probably this is the most famous Or Sameach in the entire Sefer. Like, you walk anywhere, people that know Torah say, oh yeah, the Or Sameach in Gerushin Beis Tetzvah. Like, I remember the day that I learned this Or Sameach in Shana Aleph. Like, I realized, oh, I remember where I was standing, I remember, like, the day Kennedy got shot, you know, I remember 9/11, things, I remember when I learned this Or Sameach, where I was standing, who showed it to me, like, I realized this is momentous. This is going to be something that I'm going to be quoting hundreds of times in my life, and another quarter hundreds, but like pretty often. I've been quoting it pretty often. The Or Sameach asks the question, I'll just tell you the three highlight Nafka Minas, he says. It doesn't really relate to our sugya, and we'll talk about the difference, but his three highlights are as follows. Again, is the Shliach just an action performer, puppet, Maisa Kof B'Alma? I gave you logic, analogy, language. Action performer is the logic, puppet is the analogy, Maisa Kof B'Alma is the language in Svarim. Or is he the manager of the process, the money manager, it's a mashal, Bala Chalos, Bal Davar, okay? You'll find the word Yad Nefraim used in 35 different ways. It becomes like the Mishalech. Like, for example, does he become the Mishalech or not? What does that mean? He becomes the Mishalech. Does it mean he's less empowered, more empowered? Like, you have to really, really, really understand the logic. There are two different logics, and just try not to see what language they're using, what they're actually saying. Some Svarim actually say really clearly. Some Svarim just use the word Yad in ways that it's hard to understand what they mean. I mean, I'm sure they knew what they meant. I'm not questioning their logical clarity, but the language doesn't come across. Okay, so the three nafkaminos are as follows. One nafkamino we saw in Daf Mem Gimel. Remember, we saw the Gemara Mem Gimel and Aleph in the second parak. Can a shliach be an eid kiyum? Say you show up to the wedding, there aren't enough eid kiyum. Can a shliach say, okay, I'll be one of the eid kiyum. I'll double dip. I'll be a shliach and I'll be an eid kiyum. Why not? The Bei Bar Shila said you can't because kegufe dami. Remember the language of the Gemara, kegufe dami. That's number one. If you're interested, Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Sefer Lekach Tov also has a piece on this, and he goes through the same nafkamina, so similar nafkaminas. Number two, this is where the Or Sameach gets it from. It's a question in the Rambam. Let's say Reuven sends Shimon as a shliach to fill in the blanks, marry, divorce, bikoina. Let's say Reuven becomes halachically incapacitated in the interim. Let's say you pull the plug between the mishalech and the shliach. Let's say Reuven becomes a cheresh. Here's a bikech b'shas minoy, because if he weren't a bikech b'shas minoy, the minoy wouldn't take hold. So he's a bikech b'shas minoy, but b'shas kiddushin, he's already nischaresh. He's a cheresh. So if Shimon is autonomous, he's now an actor, so he can create a kiddushin and bring the chalos back to this cheresh, assuming a cheresh is the bar hachi for chalos kiddushin. But if basically Reuven is the mekadesh, so Reuven is not a bar hachi for kiddushin, since he's a cheresh, he can't be a mekadesh through his shliach, who's just performing a maisa kof b'alma. So do we have to inspect the halachic viability of the mishaleach, or even if the mishaleach dips out of halachic viability, the shliach can still continue? That's the basis of the Or Sameach. It's a Rambam and Gerushin based Tesvav. The third nafkamina, which is closer to us, but not exactly the same, is a machlokas. This is the one I gave you on your WhatsApp. So if you take a look at the WhatsApp, at least you can read together. This is a machlokas between the Pri Chadash and between the Ramah. Okay? Quoted in Shulchan Aruch, when a shliach delivers a get, the get has to be owned by the Baal. That's a precondition. Sefer Krisis, Lishma, V'chatzavah, Sefer Krisis, V'nasin B'yada. And you have to own the material. Can the shliach provide the material, or the mishalach has to provide the material for a get? Because when it comes to get, and really listen carefully to what I'm about to say, there's no funny business. Can't say who owns it, doesn't make much of a difference. By get, we know that the Megarish has to own the get. That we know. That's inalienable. You can't even argue that. It has to be owned by the Megarish. Question is, who's the Megarish? Is the Megarish the Mishalech? Then he has to provide the paper, or at least pay the money for the paper. If the Megarish is the Shliach, then essentially the Baal can say, go write a get and give it, and Megarish can write the get from his own. That's the Machlokes. You're going to see, Zeh Yeshlam Adetali Madepligya Prichadash Al Ramah. Im Girish HaShliach Ben Yarshul HaPrichadash was the Shulchan Aruch, was the Mishneh Berurah before the Mishneh Berurah became popular. Rav Aaron used to tell us that when he was young, they were paskin based on the Pri Chadash. And then the Mishneh Berurah was never written to be the final halachic word. Mishneh Berurah was written initially as a monarch note, just to collect all the achronim since the Shulchan Aruch was written and to make them easy to read format. There was just two problems. A, the Chafetz Chaim was the biggest Talmid Chacham of his generation. B, was a great writer. So those two things made the Sefer really, really persuasive, and slowly but surely. There was never like an announcement where someone blew the whistle and say, we're now all following the Mishneh Berurah. There was such an announcement. He wrote a Sefer. There were many Svarim out there. There are Chashokan, the Pri Chadash. It was a great Sefer. Written well, really authoritative, but the biggest Talmid Chacham of his generation. So with the passing of time, it became I wouldn't say the final word, right? If you're with Moshe Feinstein, you argue fairly regularly on the Mishneh Berurah. If you're Moshe Taragin, you can't. I mean, I could quote a Moshe Feinstein. I could say, oh, Mishneh Berurah says this. Mishneh Berurah becomes the baseline, okay? But people regular. We don't hold like the Mishneh Berurah in this regard. We're in holy Mishneh Berurah. They're not we because we all sat in a room and decided, because major poskim compared his statement here to the Aruch HaShulchan, to the Babbage Rebbe, to different shittos. And here, our minhag in this community is we do follow Mishneh Berurah. And our minhag is we don't follow Mishneh Berurah. But it was an evolutionary process rather than a let's make a decision, everyone, so people would follow Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash was very, very, very sharp. He was very brisker, very, he doesn't talk in brisker ways, but his thought process. And some people say that's why we really don't follow him so much, because sometimes, you ever hear the expression in Shas, Agav Chorfei Toibei? Because he was so, it's an interesting question, Agav Chorfei Toibei. Does that mean that he was just like so sharp and like he forgot something? Or, which I think it means, that sometimes analytics and halachic calculus are very different ways of thinking. Okay, analytics means it's a very when I learn a gemara, I'm trying to create as many possibilities as possible. I'm trying to create equal weight Tosas Rid to the Minchas Pinchas or something. Because I'm just trying to explore possibilities. Halachic calculus is very different. Well, it's a Rambam, and if it's an Or Zeruah against the Rambam, we possibly like the Rambam. And what does he say? Not 13 different ways to understand what he said, because 13 different ways to understand what he said won't get you anywhere in Psak. So it's very, 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 very few people who do both. Right? Rav Avi Yosef was probably the greatest posek in the last 200 years. You don't really find, you know, deep, deep lumbas. I mean, you get some like basic ideas you can draw from, but it's not like you're going on a tour of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim wasn't the posek in Brisk. He wasn't the posek. The Rav wasn't the posek. Rav Aaron wasn't the posek. So there's just a different ways to process, and it's really, really hard. I don't think Agav Chorfei Toibei means, oh, I was busy reading Reb Chaim and made a mistake. My mind was trained to read Reb Chaim's, and that doesn't necessarily lend itself to clear and lucid halacha conclusions. So don't be surprised in this world if you find different people that are lamdanim and different people that are great poskim. And again, obviously, someone like Asher Weiss is just such a spectacular Talmud Chacham that you reach a certain threshold in each. But I'd probably say that he's probably better known for his psak than let's say some svarim that are written on lambda. So someone like Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach was obviously a great, great lambda, far beyond anything that regular people like you and me that will ever meet will ever achieve. But his godless was probably more expressed in that clear sense of what the psak should be and being able to compute all the factors involved and human factors. And the Rav wasn't that way. I'm sure the Rav could give a good psak, but the Rav, that wasn't his. Oh my goodness, this psak is incredible. And the way that he calculates and puts. Suddenly you just feel like, wow, he's a really good post. Like I see the operational methods of psak are really good, and I understand there's a clarity and lucidity. So it's just the different arts, and Prichadash was a real charef, and that's why it wasn't seen as at a certain point as the posek in the same way the Shofar. And I think part of what makes the Chafetz Chaim spectacular is I think he really was both. I mean, now that I'm saying it, if you read the Bir Halacha, you really are reading high, high brisker lamdas. Then you read Mishnah Berurah and there's no lamdas, and it's just cut and dry, who we possibly like. So I think at some point, I think he was probably a bridge of the two. Probably a good way to think about the Chafetz Chaim. Yes?
How does the posek learn the Gemara differently?
So you're asking the wrong person. But my sense is, I would say as follows. How does a posek is also a lambda learn the Gemara differently? Because some poskim who are not really looking for lambdas, they're just looking for information. He holds this, he holds this, he holds this, he holds this. And there's slight abstraction. Well, I have to know what the svara is in order to apply it. But you know, what's the svara? What's the svara about Eved Kanani? And they don't know whether they're poskim in Eved Kanani in a certain area of halacha. Whereas we're sitting there trying to find seven svaras in Eved Kanani because we feel like it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. So we're just, the whole orientation is different. I'm looking for possibilities and possibilities upon possibilities. Whereas the posek is looking to say, well, what's the, you know, the core definition of Eved Kanani, and then I'll know how to apply it, not being a posek. Okay, that's why I have a hard time with psak, because it's just my mind isn't trained that way. Okay, anyway, let's get back to the sugya. Okay, so one could say that that's part of the machlokas Rashi and the Ritva. What does the Ritva hold? Let's get back to the Ritva. That if the Gemara were talking about a real shliach, then whose money can the real shliach use? His own. And you don't need any chiddush. And therefore the Ritva feels that can't be our sugya, where he's a real shliach. So does the Ritva view the shliach as a baldavar and therefore he can use his own money? Maybe. Whereas Rashi may hold that a shliach is only a maisekov bialma. And as a maisekov bialma, he can't use his own money. And therefore we have a problem in the sugya, even if he's a shliach, and we need Eved Kanani to help us band-aid that problem, to help us bandage that problem. What's our problem? He's a shliach, but he's using the money of someone else. Of the he's using his own money. That can't work. We need Eved Kanani. What's the problem here? And here's our albatross. Yeah, how does Eved Kanani help us? According to the Ritva, you don't need Eved Kanani. That's why he doesn't agree with Rashi. It must be some other way to learn the sugya. According to Rashi, we're talking about where the Baal made him into a shliach the night before. So he made him a shliach. Who needs Eved Kanani? The answer is, well, there's a problem. There's a flaw. Because the shliach wants to use his own money. Okay. So if that's a flaw, it's a flaw. How do I correct the flaw or repair the flaw through the magic of Eved Kanani? Just wave a wand and say, Eved Kanani, and even though it's a flawed shlichos, so you can use your own money? It's hard to know. We'll hear what if say in a moment. But I'm really more interested in the question here than the answers. It's hard to know because we just have one word in Rashi. We don't even know what that word means. And we have the Ritva responding to Rashi. But how do I create a case where I have a flawed shlichas because of the lumdus of shlichas, but Eved Kanani helps me through? What would you say, Yon? And now we won't hear your lumdus, now that you have the framework. What do you think, Yon?
If it's he can't use his own money. So Eved Kanani would teach you that even though the Baal is not losing any money, it can work through, meaning it works for shlichut. The kicha part works for shlichut, but the fact that he can use his own money is from Eved Kanani.
Okay. Continue. And the chiddush of Eved Kanani is?
That even though shlichut is a kofaman, he would have to use the
Baal. So you're saying that, bring it home, the chiddush of Eved Kanani is a global chiddush in shlichus. That basically, Eved Kanani teaches me that a shliach is not a maisekof and he's a baldavar and he can use his own money. Okay, good luck with that. Eved Kanani is essentially reforming the whole shlichus. You would have thought, I like the logic, and I was going to say logic also, but just realize what you're saying. I would have thought, if not for Eved Kanani, if I never had Eved Kanani on the books, if I never knew the halacha of Eved Kanani, you know how I would have learned shlichus? Hey, just a maisekof. Just a maisekof. You need to use your own money. The money of the mishalach. Eved Kanani, which is based on some form of shlichus / zachen, teaches me, no. You got shlichus all wrong. The fact that I can act as a shliach for the Eved and use my own money shows me that shlichus b'chalat harakul at least can be. Remember, it's not A or B, but at least it can be a baldavar. And therefore the shliach, that's putting a lot into a small little world, Eved Kanani. That's asking Eved Kanani to do a lot of heavy lifting, but I like the logic. What's the other way to understand the Chiddush of Eved Kanani? Yonah being a little bit less audacious. Then really a shliach, I'll start you off, it's just a maisekof b'yalman. Really a shliach has to use the money of the mishalech. But Eved Kanani teaches us, Reuben, okay, so in Kiddushin, he could use his own money. Why would Kiddushin in Eved. Why? Okay, I like that. We're going to discuss three options today. You're giving actually option three. I'll give option two in terms of the level of Kiddush. Yonah's option number one. The Chiddush of Eved Kanani is a global Kiddush about how we understand Shlichus. And everyone Yonah in the world got it wrong. You know, you got to learn every Kanani to learn Shlichus. Don't go off and give me chakiras about Shlichus. It all comes down in Kiddush Daf Chav Gimel. Kiddush Daf Chav Gimel is the most important Gemara about Shlichus. Kadosh Baruch Hu, by writing the Haftei Lo of Dasa, told us that Shlichus is Yerub Al Davar. It's a lot. You know what I'm saying? So when you see how a lot it is. Okay? Reuben is saying, well, no. Normally, a Shlichus has to use the material of the Mishalech. It's just a Maisekof B'Alma. So in Gittin land, since the Shlech is a Maisekof B'Alma, he has to use the paper of the Mishalech. Reuben's saying that in Kiddushin land, it's different. Can anyone give a third option before we give the Svaras? It's not a din in Kiddushin, but it's not a chilek between Gittin and Kiddushin, but a chilek between? Normally a Shlech is just a Maisekof, and he has to use material of the Mishalech. But it depends what material. If it's a Ilan, if it's get, you have to use the material of the Mishalech, but if it's not get, but Kesef, not just Kesef Kiddushin, Reuben, because then what is Eved Kanani? I'm not rejecting what you're saying, but somehow, even though a Shliach is only a Maisekof B'Alma, there's some magic about Kesef that you can use Kesef that you own and use it as a Maisekof for the Mishalech. Those are our three options. There's no other way to learn this. Those are our three main approaches. I have a shliach. I'm using the wrong money. I'm stuck. Eved Kanani solves my stuckness. It unstucks me. How does it unstuck me? Yeah, I'm making up words. How does it unstick me? So it either unstucks me by saying, oh, you got shlichus wrong. That's a lot. Or it unstucks me by saying, you know what? You're a shliach, you need to use the material of other people, but not by kesef. Kesef is more fungible. Or, you know what, normally if you use kesef, Reuben, if I'm taking money to buy a land from Yonah for you, I got to use your money, Reuben, because you're the mishalech, and just the maisekof. But here, I'm not using money to buy land for Reuben, I'm using money to marry Reuben to Mrs. Yonah, the girl version of Yonah. And therefore, I can use my kesef, I don't need to use Reuben's kesef. And you see, so. What's our chiddush? Whoa, who's this? Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about, but I'm just some math.
There's definitely a family for you. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even. It looks like you're all nice. It makes my trees look like shrubberies. Now that I watch the movie, they're like the greatest line ever. Like, talk about like public speakers being in compromised situations. Like, I mean, really compromised. Like, I land in Manchester, I don't remember when, like 10 years ago, exhausted out of my mind. They pick me up in the airport, the train station, like my head spinning, taking me to give a shiur. Manchester's like a 3-hour train ride from London. And like now I know Manchester well, but those days, I know where I was. They take me in a car, wrong side of the street. They drop me off in some shul, like hundreds of people waiting to, I'm talking in front of hundreds of people, and like, I give my share. I say, wait a second, that was pretty rude. I didn't introduce myself. I didn't thank them for hosting me. Like, I didn't know. It wasn't like we were going somewhere for Shabbos, and you've spoken to them 3 weeks in advance. It's just like, come give a share. So, okay, I was in London. I pop over to Manchester to give a share. So I'm talking and talking and talking. I'm exhausted. I have to go to the bathroom. Like, everything's wrong. I say, by the way, like, what's the name of the shul? And they look at me and they say, we call this the shrubbery shul. Because of the line in the movie. I start pinching myself. Like, please, not like wetting my pants. Like, really? The shrubbery shul? So, anyway, those who get the line, get the line. It was like one of my hardest times as a speaker. To hold myself back from cracking up in their face. Oh, you're the shrubbery shul. Okay. Anyway, so like, I was holding. Anyway, so that was one of my hardest times. So anyway, so we're talking about the table. Okay. So yesterday we said, 2 days ago, Basar Mekabel. All you need is Kabbalah's Kesef. Now we're saying something in the world of Shliach, Zachin, Reb Chaim, we'll try to talk about today. So the first approach is Rashi, Minuhu Shliach. So let's assume Shliach Mamish. Okay, this is where we are. Okay, just to see the layers. On Tuesday, no one talked about Shliach. On Tuesday, we talked about Kabbalah. Today we talk about Kabbalah. Okay. Now we're moving into the world of Shliach or Zachin. Rashi says you actually said something. According to Moshe Shem, you said nothing. If you said something on Monday, what did you say? So according to the Pashtus, Imam made him into a Shliach. You made him into a Shliach. Why do you need Eved Kanani? So the answer to that question is Kesef Shel Shliach. Because according to Rashi, Shliach is a Maisekov, and his Kesef is problematic. Now the question is, okay, how does Eved Kanani help you? I'm moving to the next one. How does Eved Kanani help this problem? How does Eved Kanani solve the problem? So we have three structural ways to think. Yona, me, and Reuben. Yona says, Eved Kanani teaches us that a Shliach is a Baldava. And he can always use his own material. And this is Rashi's moment, and this is 15 minutes of fame. That a Shliach is a Baldava, and we learned that from Eved Kanani. Another approach, which is what I said, that somehow a shliach can use his own kesef. A shliach is a maisekof, but kesef is different. Reuben is saying, no, a shliach is a maisekof, he has to use his own kesef, but not for a kiddush. Anyone want to try one of these? Oh, I mean, Yonah's you don't need to try, because Yonah is your baldavar. But can anyone explain Reuben's? Can anyone explain mine? That even though a shliach is a maisekof and normally has to use the material of the mishaleach, by kesef it doesn't matter, or by kiddushin it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, just again, we're so down now on the tier of lumbus that you shut them up in front of us. So we're over here at the set. Avi, what do you think?
You can explain the kiddushin more by saying that it's baser mekabel.
No, I'm not listening to baser mekabel.
Oh, fine.
Stay in Cleveland. Okay. Stay in Cleveland. We need a full-fledged and seen as kesef. But normally, shliach has to use the material of mishaleach. Here, he can use his own material because it's kesef or because it's kiddushin. What do you think, Elon?
It's such a valuable substance. It doesn't make a difference if this person has or that person has. We're going to just transfer straight through.
Okay, so what are you really saying? That to use kesef, I don't... It's a chiddush in kinyan kesef. Thank you. You're supporting me, not Reuben. So got one vote for me, Reuben. That Kenyan Kesef, say it now more principle, Kenyan Kesef doesn't have to be owned by the Kona.
It just has to end up with the...
It has to be attributed to the Kona. The Shliach is saying, this is not my Kesef, it's your Kesef. But if I'm trying to make something yours, like a shirt or a table, you have to make a Maisa Kenyan on it. Or get. And therefore, if the Mishalech sends the Shliach to write a get, he has to give him the money or buy the paper. But when I take money out of my pocket, I don't think I have any money on me, but let's make believe this is money. If I take some money out of my pocket and I say, I'm giving this on your behalf, since Kesef's real value isn't the material, the table, the chair, the phone, what's Kesef? It's utility. So when I say, I'm giving this on your behalf, essentially I'm giving you... Sounds a little familiar, we talked about it, Arev. So Kesef doesn't have to be physically owned by the deliverer, it just has to be attributed to someone to be used for Kenyan Kesef. And that may touch upon which question? Does Kesef have to be owned by the Kona, or does Kesef... Now again, Avi, please listen really, really carefully. We're not saying we don't really care who gives it. We care who gives it. The Baal has to give the money, and he gives his money through a shliach. And it becomes his money because the shliach always has to give. We don't care who gives it. We care who gives it. But the person is giving it on my behalf, and normally you have to own it, the mishalech, but here it's enough that it's given on your behalf. It's a whole different paradigm. Okay? How does this depend upon the smar or the taz? Do you think?
If it's if it's just value, if it's just utility, so then it could be more on behalf. But if it's something symbolic, so we would think it would probably have to originate from that.
Right. So you actually think if it's symbolic, and I think about this, Ruben, you guys think it's symbolic, then the person doesn't really legally own it. But if it's just Piron, then it's just the I could flip it around. If it's symbolic, then maybe someone could create symbolism on my behalf, like Chalipin, where he even creates symbolism on my behalf, not according to the source. Okay, it's hard to know. It's hard, but now we're at a core question. The core question is, can Kesef be attributed to Kona and be Kesef HaKona? Forget, this isn't a Shlichus question. This is a Kesef question. In order for me, the Kona, to use Kesef, Avi Balsam on Tuesday, we say, I don't care, Birdie can drop it in the guy's lap. I don't need, it doesn't have to be my Kesef whatsoever. This would be Kesef that makes you fuzzy and like me. But now we're saying, no, the person has to give Kesef. What does it mean I have to give Kesef? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Kenyan Kesef, Kesef that I own, or Kesef that was earmarked for me, that was utilized for me? Now, one example of that is where the Shliach, my Shliach gives it, and normally a Shliach has to give my Kesef, is it considered my Kesef if he owns it? Can it be called my Kesef if he owns it? Can it be called the Eved's Kesef if I own it and I... Kesef, right? One thing we know for sure, Ruben and everyone else, who's not a Shliach? Presumably, who's not a Shliach? The philanthropist of Daf Chaf Gimel is in the Shliach. Well, maybe Zachin. Okay, so that's not true. But in theory, even if he weren't the Shliach, we want to know whether that's Kesef of the Eved. Is that Kesef? Eved can't be Kona Kesef because an Eved is barred from Kinyanim. So we're looking for a halachic mechanism to make something Kesef Shel Eved, even though the Kesef doesn't have legal ownership on it because he can't own it. Ah, that's a Taurus Chiddush. Now, when Mr. Philanthropist comes out of nowhere and gives money for the Eved, even let's say he's a shliach, that's called kesef the eved, because the eved can't be kona the kesef. The mishalach can be kona the kesef. The normal thing we'd expect, Avi, is for the shliach to say, here, be kona my kesef, now it's your kesef, now I'll use it, so have a real kinyan. But you can't play that game with an eved, because an eved won't be kona. So al korchenu, the chiddush of the Torah was, Ruben, if I'm right, and not a kiddushin issue, that kesef doesn't have to be owned by the user in a Kenyan Kesef. It has to be associated with the user of a Kenyan Kesef. And to prove it, Moshe, we pick a person who can't possibly own Kesef. What do we call that person? An Eved. He can't own Kesef. But you're associating the Kesef with him. Similarly, the Baal in theory can own the Kesef, but he just happens not to own the Kesef. And the Shliach is saying, I'm taking my Kesef, I'm saying, this is your Kesef. Can I use that to affect the Kenyan Kesef? Reuben's trying to say something a little bit trickier. There's nothing to do with Kenyan Kesef, it's just Kiddushin. The way we define the Maisa Kicha, A can use kesef for kiddushin for a woman the same way that a person can use kesef for bin. You have a bigger bridge to cross because you're not bridging in kesef. You're saying it's a special halacha in kiddushin and eved kenani, but not in kesef. And the nafkamina would be using kesef for non-kiddushin eved kenani. According to me, it would always work. According to you, not so fast. And when the Gemara says, Reuben, the reason I'm pressuring you, that's not trying to bully you, when the Gemara says v'chein lenyan mamona, it sounds like eved kenani has a third front. It works for eved kenani, it works for Kiddushin, and it also works for Kenyan. According to most Rishonim, that if I were to say, Yonah, take some money and sell the land to Reuben, that would work. So it's not just Eved Kenani Kiddushin, it sounds like it's a general Kesef manipulation, or Shlichus manipulation, but that would be very, very, very broad, okay? So that's our Rashi approach, okay? Again, to repeat, Rashi has an Ukimta. What's the Ukimta? This deliverer is Mamash Shliach. Ritva says, if he's a shliach, who needs Eved Kenani? Rashi, there's a flaw. What's the flaw? Money of the shliach. How does Eved Kenani help us solve that flaw? Three approaches. One approach, very extreme, Yonah. It teaches us to read shliach differently. The shliach is a baldavar. One approach, very, very limited, maybe too limiting, Reuben. That's just a kiddushin question. Sounds like the more middle of the road approach is a kesef question that we can extend to all kesef applications, be it Eved Kenani, be it Kiddushin, or be it Kenyan, when the Gemara says v'chein l'inyan mamona. So that's one of four approaches. Three and a half approaches we'll take today. Yes, Moshe.
How do we know that the money that's used to redeem Eved Kenani is supposed to be the rigid definition of kesef that we also use for Kiddushin? Like, is that?
You're right. I would have thought not, and I still can think not. But if I take the analogy between Eved Kenani and Kiddushin literally, that the same logical mechanics of Eved Kenani are the logical mechanics of Kiddushin, then I'm creating equivalency. If I say Mishum Evakanani is just some mnemonic device, it's just like there it works for logic X, Y, and Z. Here it works for totally different logic, but it's just the setup seems similar, and Rav is just illustrating by analogy. You're right, I can free to say Chakil, whatever I want, free to say Kedushim, whatever I want. But until we absolutely have to, we'd like to believe that Midin Evakanani is a certain Chiddush in the mechanics of being pulled in Evakanani, and that Chiddush can be inserted into the mechanics of Kedushim. And the insertion point is the kesef. Just like there, the kesef is not owned; it can't possibly be owned by the eved, but yet it's kesef or eved. Similarly here, the kesef can't possibly be owned by the isha, by the baal, but it's kesef or baal. Or it wasn't owned by the baal.
And then, as a natural consequence, it must be that it fits under the same definition.
Right, right, right. So the next time that someone stops you on the street and said, "Well, let's talk taz and sma," so you'll impress his pants off by saying, well, wait a second, does the kona, not to impress people's pants off, but just to talk in Torah, does the kona have to own the kesef? Say, what do you mean kona have to own the kesef? Of course he does. That's kinyan kesef. Say, have you ever heard about Eved Kanani? Eved Kanani? Maybe you don't need a nesina. Ah, that's the ksels in the Eved Milo. But if you hold like Rashi, then the chiddush is that even though he doesn't own the money, that we're digging down now to the definition of kesef. This is Sman Tazdeh. We don't know which way it lands, but we're clearly asking, to affect Kenyan Kesef, do you have to own the Kesef? That's where we are, seemingly, right now. It's a pretty low level to be at right now. Kenyan Kesef, does the Kohen have to own the Kesef? And this we got to through Rashi. Yes, Ephraim.
There's an entirely different way of learning Rashi.
Yeah, well, the Rashi book.
No, not like any of this. The key that we know Shlichos in the second paragraph, we derive it from Mitzvos, Mechatesi, that when I'm trying to affect a personal status, connection between me and someone, that I can't, I can do it in a way which I'm not personally right there doing it. And then Eved Kanani teaches us that you don't need that personal interaction. And so even though Eved Kanani and Shlichos are entirely different mechanisms, but the fact that I can use radical non-presence to interact in a personal relationship and change a status, so I can learn that I can use Shlichos.
So you're in Yonah's camp. I mean, you're more Yonah than Yonah. You're Yonah on steroids. It's not a makor for understanding shlichus. It's a makor for the source of shlichus.
Exactly.
Okay. I've never seen that, and that's reading a lot to Eved Kanani, but I can't say no. I mean, it seems to be inconsistent with the Gemara in Kiddushin. They actually learn shlichus for Kiddushin from a shalach v'shilcha. They're Kiddushin psukim. It's not just general psukim v'shilcha. Also, the Gemara takes your logic, but seems to solve it with other psukim than Eved Kanani, b'shalach v'shilcha. So, you know, you could slipstream it in, but it doesn't seem like connectable. Okay. The approach of the Rashba. What's the Rashba's approach? Rashi didn't really mean that. When Rashi said he spoke to him on Monday, he didn't speak to this guy on Monday and make him into a shliach. If that were true, Ephraim, you wouldn't need Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani wouldn't help you. There's too much band-aid, too much duct tape in the first shot of Rashi. We're duct taping too much. Eved Kanani, kesef, doesn't need to be a kesef. What does the Rashba say? That you spoke to the guy the day before and you let it be known that you're happy to marry this woman. Letting it be known that you're happy to marry this woman without appointing the guy into a shliach. So wait a second, who cares if you let it be known that you want to marry this woman? The guy's not your shliach. So evidently, what do we have on display here? Not shlichus, but zachin. The Rashba doesn't say explicitly zachin, but the Itter does, and other Rishonim do. And this is the common approach of the Rashba. I mean, we could have an entire non-Euclidean shiur on the Rashba, but there's a common approach to the Rashba. Now, of course, what's the major assumption in the Rashba? That's a major. What's even major?
That condition could be considered by something that's only positive.
Right, that's major. What's major? Can you use Zachin for Kiddushin? You're saying, Shaya and Josh, well, is it a schus? Which is an important question to ask. But even if it is a schus, who says that Zachin is powerful enough to affect Kiddushin? You say, why not, right? Well, can anyone define Zachin, not the category, but maybe I would limit Zachin only to Kinyan, acquiring mamonis. This, of course, speaks to how we understand Zachin. If Zachin is just some derivative of Shlichos, then you'd give it open-ended application. As long as it's a Shlichos, and it gets triggered. But if Zachin is some other halachic mechanism, imagine Zachin is a baseball glove. What's a baseball glove? It's hard to catch the ball at that distance. You're not going to catch the ball. It's going over here. So it's like a longer. Can't use a baseball glove to shoot a basket. It's a different, it's just a one-trick pony. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you receiving capacity through another person who acts as your agent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be able to receive items, like an Amazon locker. A receiving place. But can you use Zachin for proactive Kiddushin? So we never really face that by Gittin because Get is never a Zachin. But in theory, we'd want to ask, can you use Zachin for Gittin? Not for the woman, for the man. Because the woman, presumably Get, is just receiving. But can you use Zachin for non-receiving Kinyanim purposes? Can you use Zachin proactively to do a Maisekicha? So this all comes down in a sugya on Daf Memhei, which we'll just read together, in which most Rishonim feel that the only issue we have to concern with is the Josh and Chaya issue. But the Tosfos Riyazaken, our friend Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar, fell away. Wait a second, maybe Zachin doesn't work. So this whole question of reading Zachin into Eved Kenani is going to depend upon two factors. A, can Zachin even apply? B, is marrying a woman a schus? Because when you marry a woman, you've got some real... that's what I'm looking for. Disadvantages that come. You can't marry other women, her sister, or mother. Your chayv sherksos Fiona. You may not like her. That's just halachic deficits, but you may not want to marry this woman. So, let's see. Memhei Amud Beis. Okay. I'm only going to read the part that's most relevant to our sugya, the context of the sugya. The context of the sugya is Mion, and whether the father wanted daughter to get married. We're not going to get into that context. Hani Beitrei, Memheim and Aladavish, Kashasi Chamer Tusi Tzipi B'Bava. They were drinking med together under a tzipi tree in Bava. Shaka Chabin Eo Kasa, the Chamer Yavle the Chamre. So, I don't know, Lavan gave Yitzchak some beer. Amrle Mikachili Bratech Librai. So actually, Yitzchak gave Lavan some beer and said, I want my son Yaakov to marry your daughter Leah. Or Racha, whatever. Amar Avina, Afilu Lamandi Amar Chashin Hashem Yisratzav. Even if normally we question whether people really wanted something even though they didn't reveal their intent, here's the key line for us, Memhei Amud Beis. Shema Nisratzav HaBen Lamrina. Just because Yitzchak and Lavan are drinking beer and making Shiduchim doesn't mean Yaakov's on board. We're not going to worry that Yaakov told Yitzchak before this beer meeting, marry me to Racha. Yaakov wasn't on board. Of course, if Yaakov's not on board, nothing happens. Okay. The Dimashlech Shabbat. Okay. We're not choshesh that maybe Yaakov just wanted it, but maybe Yaakov asked Yitzchak to be a shliach to marry Leah or Racha, whatever, from Lavan. Lo chatzav inish shavi shliach. Yaakov doesn't make Yitzchak do a shliach. That's wrong. It's backwards. The Dimatzri Yartze Kameh. Wait a second. Maybe Yaakov didn't make Yitzchak his shliach, but Yaakov just announced, by the way, I'd be really happy to marry Rachel. Or maybe the father asked Yaakov, maybe it's a good idea to marry this girl called Rachel. She's really good. She's really a good wife. Those are the key words. Vidilma, Artsuye, Artsile. Maybe, okay, Yitzchak's not Yaakov's shliach. That's ridiculous. But maybe Yaakov was convinced by Yitzchak the day before the beer meeting that Rachel would be a good idea. Artsuye, Artsile Kame. And what would happen if Yaakov was on board the day before? If he doesn't make Yitzchak a shliach, what would that be? Zachin. This line in the Gemara makes it sound like you can use Zachin for marriage. Because the two people drank beer, Ravina said there's no Kiddushin. Well, I said, wait a second, why is there no Kiddushin when Yitzchak gives Lavan some beer? Maybe the day before, Yaakov was really happy to marry Rachel, and he just let it be known that he's happy to marry Rachel. Now let's go very, very slowly before questions. There's a sub-machlokus between the Ramban and the Itter versus the Rashba. And we'll read all this, but I just want you to see the map. Do you read the Gemara the way I read it, that maybe Yaakov agreed on Monday before the beer meeting, in which would be a classic case of Zachin, because Yaakov displays it, it's a real schus for him? Or even if Yaakov only agrees on Wednesday when he hears about the beer meeting, that's enough to retroactively allow Yitzchak to operate through Zachin, even though normally it's not such a big schus for husbands to get married. Most Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ben Hanan, will say that something like marriage, which is probably not a schus, in order to implement Zachin, you need prior green lighting from the recipient. That Yaakov had to have agreed on Monday to the beer meeting on Tuesday, so by Tuesday, when Yitzchak's doing the act, he's acting Zachin with already verification from Yaakov. The Itter and the Ramban read the Lashon of the Gemara Pashtus V'Dilma Artsuya Artsi. No, maybe Yitzchak came back and told him, by the way, Yaakov, I just married you to this great girl called Rachel with her father. Isn't that a good idea? And Yaakov says, yeah, Abba, that's great. It's Wednesday, it's Thursday. Yeah, that's great. I'm happy. And it turns out that Yaakov views the marriage to Rachel as a schos, even though most people would not view preordained marriage as a schos. Yaakov feels it's a schos. And retroactively, Yitzchak had the capacity on Tuesday to be Yaakov's Zachin rep. The Ramban and the Itter say the big chiddush, that even post facto green lighting works to reorient something as a schos. The Rashba and the Rabbeinu Hananel and overwhelming Rishonim say it does not work that way. But they both agree that you can use Zachin. The only question is, how much of a prior, only ask me if you don't understand, don't ask any logic now, just if you don't understand something I say, because there's just a lot of information that can help you compute. Both the Ramban and the Rashba agree that you can use Zachin to marry a woman. The question is, since most times marrying a woman is counter beneficial, it's disadvantageous, do you need the Baal to want it beforehand? Then he says, oh, I want Rachel, so then for Yaakov it's a schus. Or even post facto, Yitzchak comes back and says, I married Rachel for your ex. That's great, Abba, I love Rachel. And then retroactively, it turns out that Yitzchak was a Zachin operative. It's a Zachin question. Does Zachin only work for absolute Zachuyos, or even marginal Zachuyos that are pre-programmed by the recipient as wanted and desirable? Or the recipient can retroactively define something as Zachin. Let's not get into that machlokas. But mechanics-wise, if you interviewed the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rashba and the Yitter, and you said, can you marry a woman through Zachin? This is in Furish Gemara. Dilma Artsiri Artsili. Furish Gemara. And by extension, they would say, and this is presumably what the Rashba is saying on Dav Zayin, the Fiyah Pashtus, and the Itter says in Mefurish, that's exactly what's happening on Dav Zayin. It's not just the epilogue to the beer story on Daf Mem Hei. It's mamish what's happening on Dav Zayin. What's happening on Dav Zayin? On Monday, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Listen carefully. On Monday, the husband told this guy, I really want to marry this woman. He didn't make him a shliach. That's Rashi. If you made him a shliach, he wouldn't need any Eved Kenai. On Monday, he said, I really like this girl. I really want to marry her. And then on Tuesday, the guy said, oh, I'm self-deputizing as a zachin rep, and therefore I'll marry this woman for you. So when Rashi said that he made her into a shliach, I didn't make it into a shliach because he wouldn't need Eved Kenai. He just told him, I'm happy to marry this girl. L'chol adeos, not just the Ramban's post facto agreement, but even the Rashba's predetermined agreement. You've got Zachin l'chol adeos, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. That's how Eved Kenani works. That's the way most Rishonim learn the sugya. Let's read the Rashba. Let's read the Ramban and the Itter. The assumption is, again, Josh, Shaya, your question is just a sub-issue. Not just, it's an important sub-issue. We accept Zachin as a Kiddushin generator. How do you get to Zachin if it's iffy, if it's questionable? So going to the Rashba beforehand, going to Ramban even after. Okay, important Zachin question, not our issue right now. But they can all learn, again, the Ramban doesn't talk about our sugya, the Itter does, the Rashba does. In our sugya, what's happening, if we're interested in building our table, in our sugya is not a shliach mamish, it is Zachin. And the mino shliach means artsuye. He didn't make him into a shliach. He just spoke to him the day before. So let's read the Rashba Let's read the Iter and let's read the Ramban. So let's start with the Rashba on Daf Zayin. Important that it's on Daf Zayin. He quotes Memhei, which is his way of fusing the sugyas. This is the same sugya, at least in Rashi. Who perish Rashi? Who shasau shliach? Lomar. Shimlo asar shliach, enu mekudesha safila suatsa basof. If there's no talking on Monday, I disagree with the Ramban. No matter how happy Yaakov is on Wednesday, not going to work. Mishum de b'shas kiddushin mi'a lo mekanya. Da'iyu lo shav yishliach. There's no shliach real here. V'dim alo nisuatsa mei karabachi. You didn't make him into a shliach. He just has to talk to him. V'hadam rinim lekam barakish mekadish v'dil ma'atsuri artsi kamei mei kara. You need to have prior verification of kiddushin. V'gila daito denichale b'hakama. V'rach sal kasav ki balnam rebaseinu. The Rach is writing about our Gemara, lo shnaki shavye shliach be'edim, lo shnaki lo shavye, afilu artsuri artse kamei. When the Rach explains Dav Zayin, he quotes Memhei, azel v'kitcha medilei mikatshe v'lo mishtari elo baget v'chein halacha. V'krovim divrei elu divrei Rashi. That's how the Rashba feels Rashi's learning. So we got the Rashba, the Ben Chananel, Zayin is Zachin. We know Zachin from Daf Memhei, need prior approval. That's why Rashi inserts that there's some conversation on Monday that shows the husband's approval. V'rav Bale Iter Zal, please take out. Anyone not have their sheets? I have a couple extra sheets here. I don't want to follow on these sheets. The Makar sheets, the actual sheets, pass them around. Sefer Iter. Okay, look at the flow of the Iter. The Iter is quoting the Rabbeinu Chananel and giving his pshat, his chiddush. So second line of the Iter, v'kasav harach, ki balti merabosei, loshna ki yavlei shiman umana, loshna ki lo yavlei, I don't need for the mishaleach to give the money, the shliach can use his own money. Okay, so don't get that, don't get caught up in the Rashi business, this is a classic case of shlich or zachin. Afilo artse kameh, even if, line number four, even if the Baal just said, I really, really want to marry, or the ploni convinced the Baal, also the kitchen may delay, and the ploni, this acher guy from the shuk, went and used his own money in mekatcha. V'chein hilchasa, v'chein kasa b'hag. So we got the rach and the b'hag. Afilu artzi artzilei. Here's the Rabbeinu Chananel, line number six. Two words. What are the two words? Lechi isyada. Even if the Baal gets all excited when he finds out. Not the day before on Monday, but on Wednesday, the day after. Dav Zayin happened. Dav Zayin happened on Tuesday. Someone gave this woman money. And the Baal never knew about it. And the Baal came back later and says, I like it. V'dekamrinan, and I'll prove it to you. Hani Beitre, the two beer drinkers. Bada yadin da artsi ben kamuni. Mustavra da afogav, the last couple lines in the Iter. De lo artsi ela basar de kitcha. Oduy lahu gavra the artsi of Eidim Mikudeshes. Of a lo artsi la. Or in the Ramban and Chulin. Next, there's Ramban and Chulin, right? The first page. Ein chavin liadam ela midaito. Ela hasam hainu taimo she'eno chav gamor. Ramban sounds like it's a little bit of a contracting chiddush. What's the Ramban's contraction? What makes the Rabbeinu Chananel more broad than the Ramban? The Rabbeinu Chananel sounds like
even for a chov
gamor, if for some masochistic reason you want it, you can retroactively say it's a schos and instigate zachin. So according to Ramban, it's only for marginal cases. A real schos you don't need post facto approval. A real chov post facto approval won't help. Fairly marginal, you get to make the decision. Hasam kiddushin haynu taima she'enu chov gamor. Sherotzeh lisazu. He wants to marry, right? People like to be married. L'asa b'krovo se'a, milay she'batel. And on the one hand, you can make a case that, okay, I'll take the price of not marrying her sister, but at least I'll have a wife. I'll have a mitzvah kavid. Misa ishal karcho, yasa b'krovo se'a. So, pros and cons. Therefore, I can say, as far as I'm concerned, this is a pro. It's a bigger chiddush in the Ramban. He contracts it even more in the next chiddush of the Ramban. But there's no fundamental disagreement here between the Ramban and the Rashba. They both agree that Zachin Liadam Shel Lefanav works for kiddushin. The question is, does the husband have to know in advance? Yes, Moshe.
So for Rabbeinu Chananel, he can make a chov like a zechus if he wants, if he decides after the fact.
Chov and zechus are sliding scales. It's all just subjective.
They're subjective. It's an objective measure of one's chov or zechus.
Okay. And according to these Rishonim, they're iter mefurosh, the Rashba mefurosh, the Ramban doesn't really talk about Kiddushin. Well, he actually does talk about Kiddushin, I'm sorry. He doesn't talk about Arsugya, he talks about Memhei. The iter and the Rashba are talking about Arsugya. In Arsugya, Evakanani is just the form of Zacha. Now, what's the problem? Albatross time. If Arsugya is just the normal application of Zacha and the Anshalah Bafonov, why call it Eved Kanani? I'm tired of this albatross. It keeps chasing me. I'm now in the Cape of Good Hope. It's finished the Straits of Magellan. Still following me. Get away, albatross. Who's going to make this albatross go away? Who's going to shoot the albatross? What does Eved Kanani teach me? So who in theory would have an easier time explaining the added value of Eved Kanani? The Rashba or the Ramban? This is a trick question. In whose world can you say, well, Eved Kanani teaches us that, Josh Gletner?
The Ramban.
Right, because what does Eved Kanani teach us? That you can apply Zachin even post facto to marginal Zchus. I don't need Eved Kanani to say that Boaz could be called a watch for me. Everyone wants watches. That's regular Zachin. Who needs Eved Kanani? I don't need Eved Kanani to say that Rafi can pick up $1 million treasure from some pirates in the Straits of Magellan. We don't need that. But what happens with things that you obtain, obtainable things, that cut both ways, that have some schus and some chov? Can he come later and define it as a schus, as the Ramban of the Iter says? Well, can you think of two such examples in Chas, Reuben, that are cut both ways, that are not absolute schus or absolute chovs, and maybe we want to know whether the guy can post facto define it? What are they? What are two examples? Eved Kanani and Kiddushin. It's not, you know.
But it's not.
Who says it's not?
No, meaning, the Ramban isn't saying this with Eved Kanani. He's saying this is how Zachin
works. Sure, for sure. For sure.
You see, Eved Kanani, there's no need for post facto rotzen.
Maybe there is. If you hold Zachin, can the Eved say no? We saw that in the Rishonim. According to the Rishonim, that Chachamim are based on Zachin, the Eved could be Amid Vitzavach. If you feel that Amid Vitzavach is a flip, then he's approving it. Okay.
If you remember the Ramban.
Okay, so.
I could be wrong, but doesn't the Ramban say specifically that we're only associated with Kiddushin because...
He's contrasting Kiddushin with Kinyanim and Avedos. He may not be contrasting Kiddushin with Eved Kanani. Ramban doesn't answer the question. That's what makes it an albatross. I'm just trying to imagine how the... If we ask the Ramban this question, if it's just Zachin, what does Eved Kanani teach you? What do you sell? What it teaches.
So I'm saying the punch of the prime, it doesn't sound like the Ramban wants to apply this to other cases of itself. It sounds like it's
only Kiddushin and Kiddushin cousins, like Eved Kanani. Because we know that Eved Kanani, if you take the association literally, anything you say about Kiddushin, you're going to have to say Eved Kanani there. Yeah. Now, of course, we're all operating under the simple little assumption that Zachin works for Kiddushin. That's not so clear. Let's read the next line in the Gemara, and how Rashi interprets it, Omemhei, and we'll read the Tosfos Riazakin, and I guess we're probably going to have to stop, and then we'll pick up Reb Chaim tomorrow. We'll pick up Reb Chaim, Reb Shmuel, extra Makaros today, so we'll see how... We have to finish tomorrow, but we'll really bear in on Reb Chaim. Okay, let's get back to Memhei. Remember that question? Dilma Artsuri Artsilei? Maybe Yaakov's tickled pink, either on Monday or Wednesday? Going to the Rashba on Monday, going to the Ramban on Wednesday, Meikara, going to the Rashba, Lachrasman, Lachis Yada, going to the Ben Chanan, and going to the Itim. So what does the Gemara say? Amar Le Rabba Bar Simi. Rabba Bar Simi is defending Ravina. Ravina ripped up the marriage. Yeah, it's not worthless, no marriage. What do you mean? Maybe he's Zachin, maybe he's happy. So Amar Le Rabba Bar Simi, Beferish Amar Mar de lo Savra Laha de Rav Shmuel. We already know that Ravina rejected this notion. So what was Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Rav Abba Bar Simi reporting? Rashi says he was reporting, you know, right, if the husband had really agreed, or after the fact, he would have had a Zachin success. But we already heard that Ravina rejected Rabban Shmuel. We don't have to start worrying about that. Unless we have absolute proof the guy was happy, we're not going to worry. Rashi. Mar, Ravina, Beferish, Shamati Mimenu. The lo savor l'rav v'shmuel d'amri choshishin shemun esrat seha'av. And this whole business that Rav and Shmuel had introduced from him, Haman Aleph, that even though you didn't hear anything, you have to start worrying. Maybe he wanted, maybe he's happy about it. Ravina didn't buy into that. The kol shekein l'shem ma'asa ben shliach elam kein shamanu. Yeah, right, if we heard. I'm going to say that line another three times. Elam kein shamanu. Elam kein shamanu. Elam kein shamanu. If we heard that the Chassan Yaakov was thrilled, either on Tuesday or Thursday, we'd have confusion, but we'd have to, in an open environment without any indication or rayos, we just assume he didn't say yes, and therefore Yitzchak's marrying with love and with the beard isn't going to work. But if we did hear that Yaakov was on board, well, then we'd have Zachin. Tosus Riyah Zachin is not happy. Let's read the Tosus Riyah Zachin, and with this we'll end. Tosus Riyah Zachin. Uperish Rash Vigursa, so Eno Makubal. I don't like Rashi's reading of the Sugya. Vichima Horel Beritsuyo. Who cares if Yaakov's happy on Monday? Let's go Rashbar. It's happy on Monday. Imlo Asa Shliach Bevir. The only way that Yitzchak can marry Rachel for Yaakov is if Yitzchak's a Shliach. Don't give me Yitzchak is a Zachin rep because Yaakov was happy. De Bishlama Gabe Mamon Mehamed Beis. If it's Mamon. Hakol Dali Vidas Hanosein. Basically, okay, here's deep, 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 deep Lamdus. In Kenyan, who's the core of a Kenyan? The Machna. So if the core of a Kenyan is the Machna, then the Kona could get by just with any representation. What do we call any representation? Zachlin or so forth. Yeah, just put some guy up there. Because the heavy lifting is done by the Machna. The Bish Loma Gabi Mamona Kol Tali Bidas Hanosein. The Ein B'Makabel Elo Liskos B'Matana. What you got to do is just be there, hold your hand up. You know, be there, make smile, hold your hand up. The Machna is doing all the heavy stuff. You're just the Makabel. Big, big, big Chiddush in Kenyan. All of a sudden, like, we're learning Kiddushim didn't have a Kanadi, and we got to Kenyan theory. We're not even learning Kiddushim anymore. We're now discussing how does a Kenyan go down? Three choices. Bilateral, which is what I would assume. Unilateral A, the Kona does the heavy lifting, the Machna just releases. Or unilateral B, where the Machna does most of the stuff, and the Kona just comes and picks it up. Anyone know, for example, a Gemara which would support to this, that the Ikar Kenyan is the Machna? Shita tells us in Gittin that a katan can be kona, even though normally a katan is a lot bar kinyan if you have das acheres makna, chalipajim matana. Well, let me say it differently. We just opened a Grand Canyon in the landscape of Shas. What Grand Canyon has just opened? We're now watching tectonic shifts in the landscape of Shas. Can anyone finish the sentence? I gave it away, but if Hakna is basically Machna oriented, not Kona oriented. That a Grand Canyon has now just been created between what and what? Maybe, but what else? What is clearly Kona oriented? Well, okay, no, I shouldn't say that. It's no. Take it back. Matana versus Mekachomemkar. Is Matana also Machna oriented or Hefker? Okay, so I take that back. I should be more circumspect. Forget that. Okay. Hakol tali b'das hanosin. Ve'im mekabel liskos b'matana. V'miskel o'acher zachar b'matana mekabel. The zachar b'mefanav. Here's the key line. Avogavi kiddushin. Kutzarech shi'oma devarim shi'iknim e'me'isha. It's not just receiving money. You're actively creating kiddushin. You're not being kona money. V'tama di'acher mekadish isha li'acher u'deshuch shem kemosa. V'im le'as o'shlich ma'yo'el. It's also a Tosfos HaRosh here. I think. I don't remember if they look. So if you interviewed the Tosfos Riyah Zachin and asked him how do you understand Eved Kenani, one thing he would not say is Zachin. No. Zachin doesn't work. But the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Hananel, Ramban doesn't talk about it, but it seems like it's that way. all in Zachin. Okay, so this is where we are right now. I mean, also, I'm on Tuesday, you say, who needs a no sin? We just need a birdie dropping money, making the woman happy. Today we have a no sin. And presumably this no sin is representing the Baal. And since he's representing the Baal, he's doing the Amira. Presumably, according to these Rishonim, who does the Amira? This Acher says, Yom Kodeshes to the Baal. Who made you? Oh, he made me my shliach yesterday, Rashi. Who made you? I'm his Zachin rep. I'm repping him as Zachin. I'm saying Aret Mekudeshes for that person. Rashi starts it off by saying shliach. Does it mean he's really a shliach? If so, what's the problem? Well, the problem is not your money. Well, how can Ebekanani solve that? According to the other Rishonim, it's not a shliach, because then we'd have no problems. It's Zachin. But then, what's our problem? And how do we solve Ebekanani? What's the problem with Zachin? Hard to know. Zachin works all over Shas. So this is a hard shita. And the difficulty in this shita, because either you're facing Ukimta like Rashi, and then you have what's the problem, and then even if you have the problem, you have to try to solve the problem. Or you have no problem if it's Zachin, if you assume Zachin works. Like, there's a lot of complications here. All these complications led a certain member of the Soloveitchik dynasty named Rav Chaim to say, let's see if we can thread the needle. Let's see if we can use Eved Kenani to create Shlichos that's off the book Shlichos. It's shlichos, but it's not real shlichos, and without Eved Kenani you wouldn't have it, and that's the chiddush. It's a little bit like Yonah and Ephraim was saying. You're trying to say, teaches us about shlichos, and Ephraim is, seems to be contrary to the Gemara Kiddushin, the second parak. Doesn't teach us about shlichos. We know shlichos, but what about this thing called pseudo shlichos? And what Reb Chaim doesn't tell us is, what is pseudo shlichos? That's where I'm going to have to try to understand Reb Chaim tomorrow together. What does Reb Chaim mean? So let's start with Reb Chaim. Siddur Shlichos, we'll see how the Birch HaShmuel in the Siddur B'chaim, which is very, very different from B'chaim, so reread the Birch HaShmuel. I have a couple extra Makaros, we may or may not get to them. The only thing I want to do tomorrow is like half an hour before this year ends, I want to talk a little bit about Midashnam. Can you combine Arev and Eved Kenani? What's the combination of Arev and Eved Kenani? Where the woman tells Reuven, give money to... You don't see the Gemara? Okay, let's just read it. Right. Give money to Shimon and I'll be married to Shimon. So the obvious is, if A is true and B is true, then A plus B is true. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. But not always that way. So this will be a nice little thought experiment. What combination of Arev and Eved Kenani would be internally contradictory? The answer is if they're basically saying the same thing at once and you can't combine them. And both are true, but they can't both each be true. So think in your mind, well, if Arev is this, yeah, it can coexist with Erev Kenani. Erev Kenani, guys. And if Erev Kenani is this, yeah, it has nothing to do with it. But at what point do they converse? They will make up your mind. Is it Arev or Erev Kenani? It can't have both. So it's a little bit abstract, but it's really like a little bit of a brain teaser. Okay, I told you the story when I caught the policewoman, you know, when I was being my speeding ticket. And I pulled an Eved Kenani, I pulled a Dashneim. I was a young Kolo guy, and I was visiting my wife and his family in southern New Jersey, and it was a terrible rainstorm. My car hydroplaned, and Baruch Hashem, no one's really seriously injured. It was whatever, a little fender bender, whatever. So. Policewoman comes on the scene like 20 minutes later, gives me a ticket for driving out of my lane. So I was in my lane, I hydroplaned, I went out of the lane. But, you know, so what's going to happen? So I decided I'm going to fight this case. I went down to the New Jersey courthouse. I remember I had a ketosis and a sebos. I was plowing through ketosis and seboses. And in New Jersey, like the traffic cases are together with drug cases. Like you're waiting to be tried and bringing drug people in and homicide people. And, you know, it's really serious. Take him to jail. No, screaming, cursing, fighting. I'm sitting there looking like Excelsior waiting it out. And the judge is putting them all away one by one. Guilty, guilty, guilty. And I still remember Joe comes over to me, the district attorney who like was in charge of trying the case. He says, Michael, you look like, you know, a homespun person. You look like a nice guy. What are you doing here? I said, I really don't deserve this ticket. He says, Michael, this judge never, ever, ever agrees with, you know, the defendant against the police. Like, second policewoman says something, you're cooked. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the, you know, canas, whatever, the money, I'll take off the points. He went to strike a deal. I said, Joe, I'm seeing this to the end. I was like a 23-year-old fisher sitting there at the courthouse. And I knew that I only have one path to victory. So I decided I was going to ask the policewoman three questions. And the answer to 1 and 3 would be internally contradictory. And 2 would be a throwaway question just to distract her. So she shouldn't see that 1 and 3 were contradictory. So I asked her 1, yes or no question. She said whatever, yes. Then I asked her like just some throwaway question, you know, she answered it. Then question number 3, she said no. And the second she said no, like, oh, what did I just say? Judge says, not guilty. I got a standing ovation. Oh my God, I'm sorry, clapping in the court. Sorry. I remember this Gemara of Arya ben Ever Kenai. I put them together. Anyway, Brian, so. Yes. Okay, tell me afterwards. I want guys to go to that. Okay.
So.
Tell me. Okay. I don't remember. Like timing on the ticket, positioning of the car. Like I remember that I had 2 questions that basically were 2 freight trains that crashed into each other. But what it was just, it was like, the second it came out of her mouth, like she realized, everyone realized, like what, a mic drop moment, and everyone started clapping. The judge said, it's like a movie. I got a lot of fun out from that one. Anyway, come.
In the Rashman Plaza, no one says Zalkin about Evan Kanani.
What are you saying?
So they're not talking about Evan. They're not talking about Zalkin when they say Arce, and not Arce.
So you think, okay, so what are they talking about?
They're talking about Kabbalah's Rabbo.
They're talking about
Kabbalah's Rabbo.
Kabbalah's Rabbo, yeah.
How am I that you need to slap on Das? And the Shaila is, can you slap on Das afterwards or not? Do we need to have established Das / context?
I've seen people say that.
And then that solves all your problems, because then we're not just bringing in Kabbalah's Rabbo.
I think it's contorted logic, but I've seen people say that.
It solves all the... You don't have to contort yourself to say, well, by Eben Kanani we meant X, but here we mean Y. Now you're not just importing X to X, LMI yourself is doing R.
I'm saying Das is a supplementary element that can be provided after the fact.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, it's a big finish. Okay, but I'm saying that that's consistent logic. There's nothing that... Something for this year, I'd rather people know Zachin than that.
I don't know. This gets rid of your album. You don't have to, it's not making you have to
connect. And so does Reb Chaim.
Why go to Reb Chaim when you can do it much simpler?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. If I see the Sefer, I'll try to show you the Sefer. I've seen people take that, like, to the point that I'm saying, that's not what the Rishonim mean. They mean Zachin, right? But I've seen people say that.
None of them say it.
Well, the Itter says it. Well,
the Itter didn't say Zachin, if I remember. The Ramban says Zachin, but he's not talking about it. No.
Yes, that's something that's a very, very funny. It's a very, very good way to write it. Yes, sir. Yes. Where you provide information that qualifies the case, even though it wasn't stipulated. So the Gemara doesn't say he made a mishnah. Rashi says it's talking about that case. The Gemara says that Plony just gives the woman money as Makadisha. Rashi says, oh, by the way, there's information you don't have. He made Rashi do. Like, you have it in the Gemara's all the time. Hacha b'mayaskina, hacha b'mayaskina, hacha b'mayaskina. The basis of Ukimta is not sloppy logic. The basis of Ukimta is called contextual logic. And since the logical issue is so severe, it must be. So let's say I say, you're a dog. You know, I care for you. So you probably, you must mean it in a cool, slang way or something. So you reinterpret a literal translation based on a systemic view. People get that wrong. Tosas loves the Kimtas. Because Tosas, he shas is lovely now. So for someone that sticks out, it must be under the final test.
Steve Lono, where Tosas says, like, oh, it must be like on Sunday they.
Wait, are we still talking about Zachim?
People don't get that. Why is Tosas saying? Because people don't know how to read text. It's read text one word. Read text contextually, so you can't appreciate one text unless you see it in a line of 15 other texts.
If we need Kazakh Kedushin, who is the person who's committing that Kazakh and the Kazakh Kedushin?
Who says we need Kazakh Kedushin?
Well, we spoke about before that, you know, we might need the Kazakh to be marked as Kazakh.
Okay, so what do you say?